The Saturday Agenda on ABC Local Radio and on ABC Grandstand Digital.
Jared Whateley, Mark McClure and Guy McKenna with you for the Saturday Agenda. The other side of the coin from last night was Collingwood, and the skipper, Scott Pendlebury, is with us. Scott, welcome to the Saturday Agenda.
Thanks, mate.
We were debating as to what we learnt about Collingwood last night. What did you take out of it?
You can't really be off 5% in this competition, otherwise you're going to get belted. And, for that majority of the first half, that was the case. And, we fixed some things up in that third quarter and, we gave ourselves a small chance, but we just ultimately left, you can't give Geelong a start of 60 points and then try and work your way back. So, we've got to learn from that game last night and move forward and address the issues that come out of last night. We got smashed around the footy and we just couldn't defend them as a team as well as we would have liked.
Particularly the first, 10 or 12 minutes, when you're on the ground, what's off? Is the effort off? Is the application off? Are the kicks off? What can you sense in the moment where the frenzy is in the early minutes?
Yeah, it's probably, you hear a lot about effort and work rate, and I think those things are always high in football games. It's just the efficiency in which you do those, and last night it felt like we weren't, as a midfield group particularly, we weren't in sync with what we were doing. They were getting, first hands on the footy, and once Geelong were doing that last night, they were so good at controlling the ball, and I think they had 140 disposals to our 80 in the first quarter. And, if you give a side like Geelong, that much of the footy, they're going to score on you. So we had to defend better. We had to work around the contest a lot better than we did.
Scotty, I suggest you need more of those games so that you actually get used to it, because I think you had a couple of easy runs on the way to that.
We can't pick who we play in.
No, I understand.
So I think, we weren't getting carried away with where we were at. We knew that we'd, internally we spoke about that so far we'd beaten the three bottom sides in the ladder moving into the game, and it was going to be a significant step up playing Geelong. And we knew that. We just, we probably buckled under the pressure that we try and do to sides. We try and get them to crumble to our pressure, and, we buckled to Geelong's pressure early in the game.
Do you understand what I'm talking about, though? That you need more of that pressure coming at you on the good sides to test your young kids, to get them understand what this is all about.
Yeah, I think that's important, that with experience, that last night as well, we felt, in that first quarter, when the pressure went on, we fell away from what we trained and what we practiced. We started rushing our disposal and just giving it back to their halfbacks. Enright and Taylor were just kicking it long down the line. And those guys have, made careers off that, just mopping up, opposition's panic kicks. So in the third quarter, when we addressed that, we started being a bit smarter with the footy. We gave ourselves, I think, at one stage there, we kicked six of the last seven goals of the game and got the margin back to 23 points.
You would have been proud of that, because, being smashed is one thing in the first half, but actually getting the troops back up to just some of the even keel and even better than that would have been good.
Yeah, it was. We spoke about it out there at halftime, and we're trying to work on it as a group, is that, what's gone is gone and you can't change it, so don't dwell on it. And, for the second half, we wanted to, Collingwood football, and we did that for, probably a quarter and a half, and we got back in the game. And, we gave ourselves a small chance, but as I said, against a side like Geelong, if you're coming from 60 points back, it is a lot of hard work. And we run out of time there, and they put a few goals on late as well.
As Sellers is trying to say, the strongest steel is forged in the hottest fires. So correct. The harder the opposition, the stronger you'll become. Mate, I wanted to ask you about obviously, leadership, mate. You've done most of the things from a technical point of view as a footballer. Magnificent midfielder, gone forward, kick goals, do all that sort of stuff. But, your leadership is now probably the last sort of hurdle for you to tick off, which you're doing a fantastic role in that. So, okay, now the focus comes back onto you. You would have, I'm sure Killer would have given you the information about Blitzarv's doing a job on Cochin last week in and around the stoppages, and about how he does a different role to an actual run-with role, actually playing alongside you shoulder-to-shoulder. He'll actually go third man up and actually try and knock it away from you. One, I just want to know and get inside your head, mate, and explain to the listeners how you approach that as a player.
Yeah, with Blitzarv, he's obviously a unique matchup, 6'7" midfielder who runs away.
Unbelievable.
So what we were trying to do, with him around the stoppages, we knew he was going to jump third up and do things like that. And, we were pretty conscious of, we didn't want me just to be used as someone who's going to block a player from going third up to try and shark. And, if they have an extra guy jumping, then we have an extra guy on the deck. So we tried to do that. I think he had, you know, only six hit-outs for the night and one to advantage. In the most part, we were able to I suppose, nullify that.
Yeah, because there wasn't a great disparaging difference in the clearance rate. And I watched the first two, and it looked like a shock. I reckon you were just getting a feeling of where he wanted to hit it. But I reckon by the third, fourth and fifth one, all of a sudden you started running onto it. And I think then it started to change certainly his mindset about going third man up.
Yeah, I think early too, it's a weird one because you're standing next to him. You're not always used to an opposition run with player just leaving you and jumping. So. And then, you know, we sort of figured out wherever he was jumping from, he was just hitting, you know, sort of at his chest. So we adjusted as a midfield group and tried to work through that.
Scotty, where do you rank all the young kids? I know there's a lot of them in your team and we go through them and, you know, Frosty and those sort of guys and Langdon and you got Grundy as well and you got Adams and Crisp. You know, where do you rank them in a year or two's time? It's more the key to you. Looking at the future is key.
Yeah, it is, and I think all these guys, as you alluded to before, the more big games we can play in and that experience of, you know, really close, tight, high-pressure football, it adds experience to these guys. And last night was great, you know, in the fact that we were put under pressure and we did fold a little bit, and, you know, this week all about making sure that when the pressure goes on next week and, you know, we will find ourselves in games down 3, 4, 5 goals that we stick to what we know and we just do it for longer. And that's what all the good sides do in the league.
And don't lose your dare.
Oh, you can't. That's the other thing, you know. If you go on the back foot and then you go really defensive and you just start kicking the ball out of your area because it's someone else's problem, and then it ends up being 10 goals, 12 goals. So you've got to play daring football, keep taking the game on and force the other side to work and defend you.
I'm glad you're thinking that way. It's good.
How costly is the set shot kicking at the moment, Scott, and how aware is everybody of it?
It is. It does hurt. I know last night in the second quarter, there was myself, Jamie Elliott, and Jesse White that missed easy ones. And then, you know, obviously, Cloakie missed an easy one late in the game as well. And, you know, there's four goals that would, you know, if you kick those, and it does make it a bit closer and you give yourself more of a chance. And we're doing the work during the week. It's just not translating yet. But we can do is a bit of work and hopefully the results will come.
What does the work constitute during the week these days?
Well, we've got a goal kicking program that we all go through. So after most training sessions, we've got 10, 15 minutes of goal kicking work. And, Trav, Jesse, all the forwards do extra sessions throughout the week as well on their routine, visualisation and things like that. So we're tipping in. It's just we're not getting the results yet.
In you sense from the coaches that there's an urgency around that?
Not really. I think, you know, all sides clearly want to kick straight, but there's more an urgency of just playing the way we want to play our football. That was probably the disappointing thing last night is that we didn't really give ourselves a chance until it was too late.
Do you think overall through the first 6 weeks there have been a lot of gains made, Scott?
Oh, absolutely. I think we've seen a sample of what our best football looks like when we play as a team. And we're sitting at 4-2 and we've got a good timely reminder of if you don't come 100% that you'll get found out. And we did last night. But, you know, the positive as well is that we managed to find a way to get back in the game and give ourselves a chance. So we've got 9 days now to get ready for Richmond.
I think we've just cost you watching one of the great finishes in NBA playoff
don't
history.
Don't tell me the scores, though.
Righto, you've got it paused.
Yeah.
The Lakers in it, Jared?
Scott, appreciate it. Good on you. Go and watch it.
Thanks, guys. Cheers.